1st, which is next Sunday. We always have a wonderful time. I enjoy this, one of my favorite services all year long. We're going to have some special music, and the kids are going to do some things, and I'm going to have a good message for you. And then we're going to adjourn back to our fellowship hall here and have a wonderful time together of fellowshipping in the Lord and rejoicing over the Savior coming and saving us, and good food, and it'll be a rich time. And then something a little bit different this year, Christmas Eve, it comes on Wednesday night. So we're planning to do something special then for those of you that maybe you're in town and you can get away. I mean, sometimes I know we got company and all, but you know, you can bring your company too. But from 6:30 to 7, we're going to have what we call Cocoa and Carols in the lobby out here. We're going to serve some hot cocoa, and we're going to have a group out there. They're going to be singing carols, and you can join in too. You can make a happy racket. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a special short candlelight service. I think it'd be a great day to culminate your Christmas Eve day in rich fellowship. So if you can come, avail yourself to those things. How many of you got your Bibles with you this morning? Hold them up, shake them around. Oh, yeah. Always bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good for you. It's good practice, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
To read it out of the Word, to find it out of the Bible. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Today, we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. We're going to talk about seeds. It's very important. The Bible talks about seeds, talks about it in it's really the first chapter of Genesis, introduces this concept about seeds. And we want to look at this about the parable of the sower. Because Jesus said that if you can understand this parable, the parable of the sower, he said, then you can understand the kingdom of God. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
So I'm going to tell you, if Jesus said it was that important, then it's important for us to understand. Verse 13, we're going to pick it up there with the explanation of the parable. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Pardon me. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Amen? Wow. The parable of the sower. Now, some things I want to preface it with here before we get to looking into it in depth. Number one, notice that there are four types of soil mentioned here, representing four types of people or human hearts. But notice also, too, that the same seed, there's some commonalities. Before we get into the distinctions here, there's some commonalities about this parable. Pardon me. And that is that the same seed is sown on every ground. And that seed is God's word.
Amen?
Amen? You ever noticed, in a peculiar thing, maybe people that got saved about the same time you did and everything, and you got saved, and I mean, you begin to just take off in your walk, and you see these people, and for a while they're around and they're excited like you are, but then after a period of time, something happens, and you know, and they get hurt or they get wounded, or something don't work just right, or life didn't come just right. All of a sudden, you look around and you think, where are they? What happened to them? Where are they at? Well, this parable is going to help us to understand that, and it's also going to help us to understand how to guard our heart. Because here's the thing, the seed they heard was the same seed you and I heard. Isn't that right? Because he said the sower sowed the seed, it was the word of God. So here's the thing, the other principle we need to understand here is that there has to be sowers. Amen? There has to be sowers. Now, God intends that everyone who is a believer, is a Christian, you are also to be a sower. Sow the seed. Sow the seed of God's word. Isn't that right? Sow that seed. We're to sow it. And he said, be indiscriminate about where you sow it. Notice this, he said he sowed it everywhere. He just, Man, here's the seed. Here we're going. Just sow it. Well, I don't know if they sow it. Well, what if they don't sow it? Yeah, but they don't sow it. Just sow the seed. Isn't that right? First thing is somebody's got to sow it. Just give it to everybody. Don't worry about it. Because your part is not to make it grow. The sower here didn't look around at these different soils we're going to look at. He didn't look around and say, oh, I'm not going to plant any seed over there. I'm not going to plant any seed over there. I'm not going to plant any seed over there. I'm only going to plant seed over here. No, it says he planted the seed indiscriminately. To everyone. To everyone. God's not willing that any should perish. He's going to plant the seed to that person that's over there in the briar patch. It doesn't matter. He's going to plant that seed to that person that's all bound up with alcohol or drugs. It doesn't matter. He said, plant the seed. And here's the thing, when you realize that you're not responsible for making the seed grow, you're not responsible for determining which soil should get the seed, then that will set you free. Amen. As a sower. Amen. All you do is, listen, I have the seed of God's word, I'm going to give it. Yep. I'm going to give it out to everywhere, everywhere, everyone. Everywhere I go, I'm going to sow. So the seed is the same, and the sower is the same. Just sowing the seed, sowing the seed, sowing the seed, sowing the seed. Now, the only distinction here, and this is where we're going to get into detail and looking at it, is the soils on which the seed fell. Now, here's the thing. You're not responsible for the condition of the soil of others. You're only responsible for the soil of your field. Are you listening? The soil of your field. That's the only thing you have to be concerned about, is look at my heart. Okay, what's here? What's the condition of the soil of my heart? Because you will notice here, as we look at these four types of individuals, four types of soil, in three of these soils, the seed, even though it was the seed, it was the same, it was God's word, it did not produce. It did not produce. Now here's the thing. I would like to see everybody saved. That's just the way I'm wired. I want to see everybody saved. I want to see everybody healed. I want to see everybody be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see everybody blessed and have joy and walk with God, know the blessings of God. I want to see everybody. I mean, that's just the way I am. And sometimes, man, I'll tell you what, that gets me in trouble, so to speak, because what the truth of the matter is, Jesus said there's only one quarter is going to produce. Hello? Did you read that? This is why I want you to bring your Bible. You think I'm making this up. Okay, so here's the thing. We have to look at the condition of the soil. So notice what he says here. He says, some people, verse 15, are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now remember what Jesus said. We quote this verse a lot in our full gospel circles. John 10:10. Does anybody know what John 10:10 says? The thief comes. Okay. All right, let's stop right there a minute. So what is he, according to this parable, what has he come to steal though? The seed. He's come to steal the seed. And that's what Jesus said. These that are along the wayside. In other words, instead of in the way, you're just along the way. Now let me, you know what I mean by that? In the way was a reference to what? Being in this life. Being a disciple. Being a follower of Jesus. We're going to follow him in the way. You know, the early Christians, that's the way they referred to him. Those of the way. Those of the way. Do you belong to those of the way? Which way is that? The way of following Jesus. The way of being a disciple. But these people were, the seed fell along them what? Along the side of the path. And Jesus said, these are people who hear, but they don't receive and put into action the word they hear. Now there's we're talking about in many cases, even believers. They come to a service like this, you know, week after week, maybe a Wednesday service or some other. They come, but they are along the wayside. They come and while maybe me or someone else is endeavoring to preach or teach the word, their mind is somewhere else. Yeah. They're thinking about what all they got to do. They're thinking about what they're going to do when they get out of church. Their mind is somewhere else. There is no focus. And the seed does not really enter into them, even though they've been in the hearing of it for many years. It is, honey. And it says what will happen to those people, Satan is going to come and steal what? The seed. Listen, the devil don't care if you drive a Cadillac or if you walk. Come on. He don't care. He don't care if you live over here in Palm Beach or you're out under the bridge somewhere. He don't care. Listen, the devil's not preoccupied with natural things. He's after one thing in your life. He's not after your money. He's after the seed of the Word of God. He wants to steal it. If he can, he wants to get you, in this case, basically to just be oblivious to it. To just kind of be around it, but it never enters in. It never changes your life. It never impacts. It never makes a difference. So that when, you know, somebody says, well, our text today is from Mark 4. We're going to read about the parable of the sower. Your thought is, oh, I've heard all that. You're one of those by the wayside. See, because it's never penetrated. And the enemy comes and he steals it. And you don't even realize he steals it. You know, one by the wayside will say something like this. Well, you know, I tried that, you know, and it don't work. You big old fibber. I would have used the other word, but I'm trying to be nicer nowadays. Come on, isn't that true? All that stuff don't work. All that stuff. That Pastor Bear talking about the promises of God and all that stuff don't work. That don't work. You know, listen, no, it doesn't work for those by the wayside. The enemy comes and he begins to steal it. And so there is nothing gained and nothing grown on that. And you and I, we have to watch it. Because it's so easy. We lose our focus. You know, our focus gets over here, gets over there. We get distracted so easily. There's so much going on in our lives. It may be turmoil. It may be a lot of good stuff. Good stuff can be just as distracting as bad stuff. Isn't that true? And we get distracted. And so what happens? The enemy comes along and he steals that word. We never purposely, you know, take the word that we're hearing and look further into it. And make sure it gets into our heart. Most people, the word, or at least Jesus said, 3/4 of the people, the word never gets down to the place where it can put down root and begin to produce fruit. Well, I'm telling you, if 75% of the case that is it, that ought to tell me something. Amen. That are telling me, look, I need to take heed to myself. I need to watch out. How Jesus said this. He said, take heed how you hear. Isn't that what he said? It takes concentration. It does. It takes focus on the truth, on the Word of God. See, we think, oh, okay, I heard it, so it's just going to happen automatic. I don't think so. Turn over to James's gospel just a minute here. James chapter 1. Boy, I'll tell you, you think I'm tough. Get back over here and read Brother James's book. Woo! But you know why sometimes we need, you know, the Bible, when it talks about the Word of God, you know, 3 of the 4 things it talks about has to do with instruction, discipline, and correction. Boy, that's 3 things that we don't want to hear in the modern day church, is it? And then the 4th is edification and blessing. That's all. Sometimes that's all we ever hear. And we need to hear that. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to tell you what. Well, some of the people, all we think about is the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. And then some people wonder, why is the word not working for me? Why does the promises of God doesn't seem to be working in my life? Well, this is going to help you understanding this parable of the sower. James 1:22, he said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. This is this first person that's by the wayside there that the enemy comes. He says, you're just listening to the word, okay? And if you only listen, he said, you're going to deceive yourselves. You know what the deception is? I've heard it, therefore I am doing it.
That's right.
I can parrot it back, therefore I am doing it. No, see, in church, we've become experts at church speak. Isn't that right? You know, I say it jokingly. We're like the, you know, the bobblehead. You've seen it in the back of the cars. You know, the least motion of the car and it gets that head going. You know, we know all the right responses. Amen. That's right. Yes, Pat. And I love to hear all that. Don't misunderstand me. But I trust that it's sincere. Because the deception can be if we're not doing the word and we're just enthralled about hearing it, sooner or later, you're going to get tired of hearing it. And then when you hear the message again and you're not a doer of it, I can always tell the people who aren't doers. Because after a while, they get tired of hearing it. And then they start murmuring and complaining about having to hear it. I don't want to hear that anymore. I want to hear something new. Well, when Paul was in Athens, he said he was up there, you know, in Athens up on Mars Hill where they, you know, they came and debated and talked. And, you know, because the Greeks were after wisdom. They wanted wisdom. But God wants changed lives. God wants transformed lives. God wants lives that are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And he says, if you hear but you don't do, he said, you deceive yourself. He didn't even say the devil did it. He said, do, I like what this says. He said, so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Boy, I love that translation. Do what it says. Do what it says. If God says pray, what ought we do? Start doing? If God says give, what ought we start doing? If God says repent, what ought we ought to start doing? Boy, see how, that's not hard, is it? It's real simple. He just said, do what it says. Just start doing what it says. You won't lose out if you do what it says. You won't be that one on the wayside. The enemy won't be able to come and steal it out if you're living it. Man, you know, people can come and they can have more degrees behind their name than a thermometer has. And they can start telling me. And great and much more educated and much wiser than I am about. I'll start splitting hairs about how this has passed away and God don't do this and God don't do that and God don't want to do this and God don't want to help. And I'm saying, it's too late. You're too late. You better go find somebody because I've already experienced it. I've already lived it. I'm already doing it. I'm already receiving it. You're too late for all that to work on me. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listen now, to the word, but does not do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Isn't that true? You know, you got, I mean, it looks like everybody got all spiffed up this morning. You got all primped up and whatever, you know. You look so handsome and pretty, everybody in front of the mirrors and, you know, doing whatever you're doing. But you know what? You know, if I was to ask you to describe in detail your face right now, I wonder how much detail you could add to it. You know, as many times as you looked at it. Okay? I'd even say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You look at your face. We're going to count to 10 now. Stop looking at it. Okay? Now describe your face. Describe it. Describe, you know, what about, is one, which ear is higher than the other one? I'm sorry for all you perfect people. Excuse us for meddling. But isn't that true? We can, you know, you kind of got a general idea, but you don't know the detail. And that's the way some people are. He says it's like a person who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away, he immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently, in other words, the doer of the word, into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, he's not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed. Everybody say, he will be blessed.
He will be blessed.
He will be blessed. The one that hears and does it. So the one along the wayside where the enemy comes to steal the word, the danger of that person is what? Is they think that hearing is sufficient. They think that showing up is sufficient. Well, I put my time in this week. I put my time in. And, you know, and so I put my time in, you know, and I went to church and I've been going to church all these years. And, you know, I don't understand why this other person, they just got saved and they just started and God's blessing them all kinds of ways. It's not right. Well, here's the thing. Instead of finding, you know, isn't it amazing how we always think there's something wrong with God, the Word, or the kingdom, but it can't possibly be me? I don't understand why God's blessing them and not me. God's partial. God's mad at me. God, hello. You need to go back and look back in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, this Word, you're going to see yourself. First of all, you're going to see yourself as you are now. Ugh, don't stop there. If you stop there, boy, you're going to be discouraged. But then, he says, if you'll continue looking in this mirror, what the Apostle Paul said, you'll be changed from glory to glory to glory. There'll be a transformation take place. Amen? You know, I go around sometime with Cindy. She goes shopping, you know. And I'm following around. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? And it's all good, though, because I get to pray for all the people in the store there. Isn't that right? I just pray for them. You know, I just pray for God. You know, I pray for all of them, man. You know, but I notice, you know, you go. We always have to make a round by the cosmetic section. You guys know what I'm talking about. The cosmetic section. You know, and a lot of times there are people there that are doing what? There are people there, you know, they're doing what they call makeovers. Is that right? Did I get the term right, girls? Makeovers, you know. You know, and they're going to, you know, and they're going to have people in, you know, the ladies in, and they, you know, and they're going to get all the makeup and everything just right. You know, boy, I mean, man, you know. And man, they come out of that place and boy, you look great. Or maybe you go and you get your hair done, and you get back home and you can never get it exactly the way they did it. You know what I mean, ladies? You know. And so, you know, as we get into the Word, in this Word, God's going to do a makeover. But His makeover will be permanent. But here's the thing. If we just listen, He said, you don't do it. He said, no blessing is going to come forth in your life. The enemy will steal the Word. And there seem to be no transformation that's taking place. So what? We've got to persevere. We've got to give our full attention in order, what? For that Word to what? Reproduce in our lives. It's got to reproduce in our lives. But if it doesn't enter in, it's not going to reproduce. That's just like if you go out here and we plant seed out here on this concrete, this asphalt out here, it's very unlikely that any of it is going to sprout and reproduce, is it? Well, are we going to go back and say, well, you know, I want my money back. You gave me bad seed. No, it wasn't the fault of the seed. Peter said this in 1 Peter. He said that God's seed is incorruptible. What does that mean? That it always will work under the right condition. Are you listening? See, some people, you ever heard this statement, God can do anything. Do you know that just by itself is a fallacy? Oh, boy. Boy, now, you know, might be like that. You know, I told you the story about Brother Hagin's preaching one time. He's teaching along this line. He said, you know, some people think God can just do anything, anytime, under any condition he wants to. That God's God and he'll just do it, but where, no matter what. And he said, you know, some guy was sitting in about the second row there and said, yes, amen, bless God, I do. And he said, before he realized it, he just pointed his finger and he said, well, how come God can't make you pay your tithes? And the guy just ducked down. God told on him. We all know, you know, we understand, yes, God's all powerful, but there are, under certain conditions, God has chosen not to do things, hasn't he? Because, listen, if he just did anything anytime he wanted to, you know, this is where the error of this ultimate reconciliation comes about. You know what I mean by that? Where everybody's going to eventually be saved. It comes about by taking one truth and trying to make it the whole truth and excluding other truth. Listen, you've got to take the Bible. You've got to take and let the Bible interpret itself. You've got to take the truth here and the truth here and get all the truth that God talks about salvation, that God talks about heaven and hell, that God talks about who's going to be saved and who's not. You've got to get all that together and look at the whole body of it to get the right truth. You just grab a snatch here or snatch there, you can make it say anything you want to. You know, he'd be like the guy, you know, that played Bible Ouija. You know, a Ouija board, you know. You know, where you open the Bible and point. You know, say, you know, he desperately needed a word and he opened the Bible and pointed, you know, with his eyes closed. And it said, Judas went and hanged himself. And he said, oh, I don't like that one. So he tried it again. He opened it to another place and he closed his eyes and pointed again. And the word said, go and do thou likewise. So he gave up. He gave up on the Bible Ouija. But sometimes that's the way our understanding of the scriptures or truth can be. And we get ourselves, just like that poor brother, we get ourselves in a fix, don't we? Oh, Lordy. Hopefully that was a good time for him to change his approach to the word. But it's the same thing with the seed. He said, if it's by the wayside, if you're not a doer of it, he said, you are deceiving yourself. And the enemy will come and he will steal out that seed and it will not reproduce in our life. So here's the thing. I can only look at my own heart. And you can only look at your heart. Now, hopefully we're all sowers. We sow the word indiscriminately. We give the word to everybody. I don't care who they are. We just give it out. But when that word comes to us, we need to look at our own heart and say, okay, what's the condition of my heart? So we have to persevere. You have to give your full attention. See, some people, you know, if they would give attention to the kingdom of God and to the word of God the way they give attention to some other things in their life, oh my goodness, the difference would be like night and day. Come on. Man, have you ever seen somebody skillful, maybe whether it's at a craft or at sports or whatever it may be, or a musician or whatever it may be, and you see somebody really skillful, I can tell you this, they didn't get that way by just, you know, 5 minutes a day. You know, they picked up the guitar and said, wow, look at that guitar, sure wish I could play it and put it down. Huh? There, you know? But they have to give themselves to it. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes concentration. But when it comes to the things of God, we think, well, we'll give God 5 or 10 minutes. That's got to be enough. And then we wonder why there's no spiritual growth. There's no life. There's no power. There's no anointing. There's no love. There's nothing flowing out of us of the kingdom.
Amen.
Hello? Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
It comes back to this. You know, how badly do we want it? Jesus said verse 16, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble, or persecution, Jesus. Anybody got the white out? We could white trouble and persecution. Comes because of the, why is it going to come? Because you're so wonderful. Because you're such a threat. Because the devil's scared of you. Now what does it say here? Read it. The trouble of persecution becomes because of the word. The seed. The word. The word. You ever notice after you got saved, you had more trouble with the devil than you ever had? And I've had some Christians, because, see, they didn't understand this truth. They were like, well, I don't understand it, man. I mean, man, I didn't have near as many problems as I got saved. Now, man. You know why? He says, it's not about you. It's about the seed. It's the seed that's being sown in you. It's the word of God that's being sown in you. That is a threat to the devil. Like I said, he don't care about you per se. He doesn't care whether you're rich or poor, long as you're, if whichever way will work best for his kingdom, he don't care. If riches will be a snare, he don't care if you're rich. If poverty will be a snare to you, he don't care if you're poverty. He don't care if you're bound on drugs or alcohol or some other thing. He don't care. All he wants to do, what, is keep the seed out. He wants to steal the seed. He wants to make sure that the seed of the word of God does not get in to the human heart, because when the seed and the soil come together, something supernatural transpires. And that supernatural something is the kingdom of God coming forth. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, anointing, power, fruitfulness, all the things that the Bible talks about that are manifestations of the life in the kingdom of God. Now notice he said here, when the seed comes, these rocky soil, rocky soil means this, there's not enough depth. There's not enough depth for what? The root to go down. You ever notice when trial and persecution come, the Bible also in places likens it to a storm. He said, when the waves and the wind hit you. Anybody had the waves and wind of life hit you? If you haven't, just hang around. You will. So, oh, Pastor, don't tell me that. Well, yes, you better be somewhere where they tell you that. Amen. You know, I'm not going to tell you that we're all sailing on the good ship Lollipop with Jesus and everything's great. You'll never have a problem. You'll never have a... Don't worry about... No, here's the thing. And here's... You get the Word of God. You start putting it in you. Why does tribulation and trouble come? Because the devil wants you to give up on the Word. He wants to convince you that that's not true. That's not right. That's just another book. That's no different than any other good book. That's just a good book. That's just a book some men put together. Oh, it's nice, and there's some things there that, you know, might make you have a little bit better life. But that's not God's Word. Looky here. Looky here. The Bible says, God, it says, by the stripes of Jesus, healings is yours. Look at all that pain in your body. Feel that? That's not true. And that word where it says that God wants to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. That's not true. Look at here. You can't even pay your bills. You're struggling to do that. That's not true. That promise over there in Acts where He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and your household will be saved. My goodness, look at your children. Come on.
Yeah.
Persecute. It comes what? For the, not for your sake. For the Word's sake. But here's the thing, see, we think it's all about us, so we start having a pity party.
I don't understand why this is happening to me. I'm just trying to do the best I know how. I've been good.
Y'all have never been there, have you?
<I don't... laughs>
And you know, I don't know about you, but my experience of that stuff, I just get lower.
Yeah.
Amen. You know why? Because I've forgotten. I thought it was about me. It's about the Word. He's putting pressure on me because He really wants to get to the seed. He wants me to give up on it. He wants me to let go of it. Amen. He wants to say, oh, this is not going to work. You're not going to have that. You know, because here's the thing. If you don't leave the seed in the ground long enough, it cannot put down root. And here's the truth about a seed, both natural and spiritual. First, the root. Then the fruit. First the root, then the fruit. But see, we want the fruit right away. Amen? You know, we've got, I think when it comes to Christianity, we've got kind of like a consumer grocery store mentality. Come on. How many of you know those apples don't grow at Publix? Amen. They didn't grow. Those apples don't grow down there in the bin. Do they? But, you know, but all we got to do what? I hop in my car. I drive down to Publix. Put me out a bag full. Huh, man? You know, you ask a little kid, where does fruit come from? Hey, it comes from Winn-Dixie. It comes from Publix. Or wherever. Isn't that right? Because that's what they know, isn't it? We don't know anything about the growing process. We don't know anything about getting that. Well, maybe some of us grew up that way, but we've got away from that. So we're consumed. So when it comes to the Word of God, He starts talking about seed and root and growing and process and fruit. Oh, we don't want that. We just want to go down to the Christian store and buy some fruit of the Spirit. We want to go and get us a sack full of that joy. Where do you buy it at? You don't buy it, you grow it. You grow it. And it comes from the seed. And if we don't understand that the seed has got to have enough soil to put down the root. And He said there's rocky places here. Rocky places. What does that mean? The afflictions and pressures and tribulations come. And because there's no root that's been put down, what? It's easily toppled. I mean, we get in here in a service like here. And we hear somebody teaching and preaching. And we're like, yeah, God, yeah. We get all excited in our emotions. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. That's not where you just because you have an emotion don't mean you've put down a root yet.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that, but don't be misled by that. You put down root is when every day you continue in it. Every day you do the work. Every day you do it. When it looks like it's not working, you know what? It's putting down root. It's putting down root. And if it puts down the root, as surely as the sun comes up and sets, I'm telling you what, it's going to produce fruit because it's an incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when I see trials and trouble come against me, I know this. It's just the enemy working in this world system. He's out for the seed. But I got news for you, devil. You're not going to get the seed because the seed has my deliverance. The seed has my deliverance in it. So if you don't let go of the seed, then you're going to get your deliverance. You're going to get whatever it is that you needed from God. But you got to put it in there. You got to understand this, that tests and trials are going to come. My pastor used to say it this way, and it's the truth. He said, you're either in a test now, coming out of a test, or about to go into one. Now, I know you didn't want to hear all that, do you? But at least you'll know when it hits. You'll know at least, hey, I told you the truth. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. The seed, if you'll continue, the seed will prevail. The seed will prevail over any test and trial. The seed will prevail over anything the enemy can bring in your life. Amen? Amen. Listen, without root, we become unsteady. You ever seen a tree? I've told you the story of our house we lived in Alabama. We had this huge tree called a hackberry. You know what? Anybody know what a hackberry tree is? Me either, except I saw one. But this thing, it must have been 60 or 70 feet high, and a big bushy up at the top. You know, lots of leaves and everything. Big old tree down here. You know. Boy, it was one of my favorite shade trees. And then a hurricane came through. Which one was it? Ivan? And I mean, it rained and it rained and it rained. I mean, it just torrential rain, just soaked the ground. And then here comes the wind. And man, it began to catch. I mean, this is a big tree. I mean, it would stretch when it laid down from this platform back to those doors. Big tree. Bushy. And man, I mean, all those years I sat under that thing and enjoyed its beauty and its shade, I mean, it looked like the Rock of Gibraltar. Man, what a tree. You could get out there, you could push on that thing, you could lean on that. Not a wooden budge. But it began to rain and rain and rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. I mean, that rain saturated the ground. And then that wind began to catch all those leaves. And we're looking out the window and you start to see the roots start to heave. It just up and then it come back down and it come back down. And finally, with a resounding crash, I mean, it was a crash too. It took out about three or four other trees in the yard. I mean, that was a tree. But see, without roots, without deep roots, and man, if you'd have told me that could happen, I never would have believed it. I mean, it left a huge gaping hole. I mean, we had to have a dump truck come in and backfill the hole. I mean, it was huge. And see, that's what the enemy, if we don't put down deep roots. And, you know, I found out about this tree, even though it had big roots, they didn't go down real, real deep. And, you know, but you take an oak tree, a hardwood tree like that, man, it puts down deep roots. And God says, you and I, we have to put down deep roots. We let the Word of God abide in us. We put down deep, deep, deep roots. Being in the ministry for close to 30 years now, I've seen just about most human tragedies that can happen. We've experienced some ourselves too, but seen them. You know, death, sickness, suffering. I mean, you know, all the, you know, not trying to bring you down, all that stuff. You know, and I've seen how people respond. Some people can go through something very similar. One comes out better. One comes out bitter. One comes out stronger. One comes out having thrown over their faith. What is the difference? It wasn't per se that the test or trial was this or that different. Very similar. What was the difference? It was the root system that had been put down. We put down a root system that no matter what comes against my life, no matter what fails, you know what? It stands strong. Because I'm going to tell you what, you may be a strong person, as we say, but I tell you what, life can hand you something in a minute that is greater than your strength. And that's when we got to have root. the root of God's word down. Deep, 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 deep.
Amen.
The root goes down. The shoot comes up. The fruit comes out. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? Every tree that produces fruit, it's always for somebody else to eat.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen? When you and I put out fruit, you know who it's for? For others. Oh, but I want that fruit. No. You never seen an orange tree consuming its own oranges. No, it produces fruit, and the fruit's what? For others, isn't it? Primarily. It's for others. Yes, we get to enjoy it, but what? It's for others.
Amen.
You know, I got to stop here because my time's up. But, you know, you ever prayed, God, use me?
Sure.
God, use me?
Yeah.
And then somebody uses you and you get mad? You walked right into that one, didn't you? We've all been there, haven't we? But listen, the Word of God, He said, if you understand this parable of the sower, He said, you'll understand it all. He said, the wayside soil, the soil here with the rocks. Then He said, there's the thorny stuff. And I don't have time to get into it because my time's up. But He said, the thorny, He said, it chokes the Word. And you know, there are a lot of things that we deal with in life that wants to try to choke the Word. Some what we would call good, some that we would call bad, but it's all stuff that comes in and it tries to crowd out. It crowds out our time with God. It crowds out our time with the Word. It crowds out our prayer life. It crowds out our time of studying and focusing on the Word of God. It crowds out all of that. Comes in. He said that kind of soil also, He said, it's not going to produce. And I believe, you know, one of the biggest weed that tries to come in nowadays and crowd things out is busyness. Man, have you ever noticed when you talk to somebody, I mean, it's without exception, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing real good, just busy. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we all just busy. We're busy. I talk to people who are retired. You retired folks, y'all discouraging me. I talk to some of them, how's it going? Oh, we're just busy. Wait a minute. When do we get to rest? Amen. I talked to Elwood or Chuck or some others that are retired. I said, how's it going? I'm busy. I was like, good gracious. So I think that's it's just a sign of our times in our age is the busyness. And what is a lot of that busyness for, I believe? It's a distraction. It's to crowd out the seed. It's to crowd it out. It's to choke it out. And you know what we've got to do is we've just got to be able to say, wait a minute. There's something of greater import here. And if something's going to suffer, it's going to stop being the seed of the Word of God in my life. It's going to stop being that suffers. Let something else suffer. Let something else that's not eternal. Let something else that's not so important, that's not so paramount, that's not going to produce life and the good things in our life. Let it be something else. Because how many found out you can't say yes to everything? Lord knows some of us have tried. But you can't. Sometimes we've got to learn to say no, don't we? You know, because I found this out. If I don't say no to some things, I end up sometimes saying no to the wrong thing. And the way I say no, usually, you know, most of us, we don't stand up and say, well, God, I just ain't got time for you this week. And, you know, too bad. And I ain't talking. We don't come across that way. The way we say no is we just never give him any time.
Right.
Or we give him a snatch. Because we said yes to so many other things, we end up saying no to somebody. And, you know, we always know God's going to understand. The boss ain't going to understand. Like Jesus. Can I tell the truth? That's the way we feel about it. But here's the thing, we've got to focus and say, okay, first things first, the Word of God, I'm going to put it in me. I'm going to be one of those, the fourth type of soil. He said, they planted and it gave what? 30, 60, and even 100. You know what that translates to in percentages? 3,000, 6,000, 10,000%. Boy. What if you put the seed in and he says it's going to produce at minimum 3,000% more. I was reading the other day about this Ponzi scheme. You familiar with that Ponzi scheme? You read about that? There's people here in West Palm Beach got caught up in this thing. This guy that was as either one of the founders or bigwig with the NASDAQ and all that. Supposedly he was taking all, I mean, $50 billion in this Ponzi scheme. $50 billion. And what he was doing was he was promising them this huge, big return. You give me the money, boy, you're going to get this huge return. You know, 20-something percent or whatever, 26% or whatever it was. You know, some just unreal return. So people were giving this money. And the Ponzi scheme, the way it works is he didn't really invest the money. He spent the money. But he got more investors, sold them the same idea, and he took the money that they gave him, and he paid the first people back their what was supposed to be their initial return on their investment. And so what he had to do, then he had to go get more investors to pay the second ones and the first one. Eventually, guess what? He ran out, but not until he'd gone through $50 billion of people's money. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. God says this. He says, I'm going to stand behind the seed that you sow, my seed. And he said it's going to bring 3,000, 6,000, and 10,000% in your life. And that's no Ponzi scheme. That's an actuality. Amen? So it's going to be up to us. What can we do? Is it worth? If somebody told you that you could work and do this and do that and do this and do such and invest this and learn how to do this, and it would give you a 3,000% return, come on. Where do I sign up? You'd give people money. This is free. I said, this is free. People would pay huge amounts of money to get something with a 3,000%. These people got tucked in, and they weren't getting anywhere close to that, promised. But this is God's word. So here's the thing I want to encourage you. Let's find ourselves in that fourth category. We hear the word. We do the word. We persevere and continue in the word. And he said he's going to produce in our lives. And you know what? We're going to be sowers. We go out of this place, we're going to sow. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We're going to sow the word. But you know what? Sow it in your own field. Sow it in your own field. Sow it in your own field. Any farmer knows this. The more I sow, the more I'm going to reap. So here's the thing. If you want your life to be different, if you want your life to be changed, guess what? Sow more seed. 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 Say, oh, I want to be blessed. Sow more seed. Because he blesses the seed sown. Amen? Would you bow your heads just for a minute? Just perhaps, I know we don't have any visitors, but I don't want to take it for granted. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life as Savior. The Bible says that Jesus came. He came as the perfect Son of God incarnate as a man. He went to a place called Calvary. And on Calvary, he took your sins and my sins. Upon himself, he shed his blood. And the Bible says that that blood was made an offering for our sins that we could be forgiven and redeemed back to God. The Bible says whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will turn away from his own life and turn to God in faith and call on the name of Jesus will be saved. That's called the gospel. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. You say, Pastor, I've never done that, but I want to this morning. I want to pray with you. Would you lift your hand real quickly? Anyone here? I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. I want to pray. Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you that raised your hand? Lift your hand back up. I'm going to pray with you. Right here. Now, Father, you see this hand and you see this heart. Lord, nothing is hid from you. And Lord, in sincerity of heart now, Lord, this young lady, she calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. She calls on you. She believes that you are the Son of God, that you died for her sins, that you rose again. And that, Father, that as she calls on you now, she's going to get a brand new life. Her sins are going to be forgiven. She's going to be saved, born again, a child of God. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for this precious life. We thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray over the rest of the people here, O God. For all of us, I pray that we will take to heart, O God, the word we've heard today. Father, this will be seed sown in good soil. We'll take heed to it, O God. We'll take heed to our lives, to our soil, to the condition of our heart. We will receive the word of God. But Father, not only receive it with joy, we're going to continue in it. We're going to be doers of it. Doers of it. And we're going to encourage one another to be doers. We're going to encourage one another. Lord, your promise is it's going to bring forth 3,000, 6,000, 10,000% in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.